do apologise if you can't see us, but we don't have a ramp to get the wheelchair up onto the platform, and we thought to sit here would be more elegant. So, there we go. So here we are. If you can't see us, just feel free to move around a little bit. That's good. If you are visiting this morning, my name's Peter. I'm one of the elders here at Elsham Community Church. This is my wonderful wife, Sue. Together we are Peter and Sue. And you join us part through our summer series on how to, a bit of getting back to the basics. We've been looking at how to read the Bible and how to hear from God and how to huddle and how to share the gospel and how to grow in character. And this morning we're looking at how to pray. Okay? How to pray. There we go. And this is just such a vast topic, as I'm sure you can appreciate. That in fact, you know, this could easily be a preaching series in itself. We could be looking at the prayers of the Old Testament, the prayers of the New Testament, the prayers of Jesus, what it means to pray together corporately or at personal prayer times, or praying for healing, or what did Paul say about prayer, or what did James say about prayer. So there's just so much that could be said about prayer, and we've just got this morning and this short time together. And there is an element that, as we've been talking about this over the past couple of weeks, that it feels like we're here this morning talking about how to pray, and we're talking to those who get it, okay? That you guys get prayer, okay? Sunday mornings, just opportunities for people to pray for one another. And we see that during our worship. On Wednesdays, as we've been meeting together for our call to prayer, 6:30 in the mornings, 12 midday, 7:30 in the evenings. Okay, it's been a bit quieter during the summer weeks, but during term time, there's been an average of 50 people a day throughout those three meetings. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. And enough, of course... Elsham Community Church, part of Relational Mission, family of churches together, and we have this opportunity to come together once a term to pray for a half night of prayer together. And so many of us go that it's just easier and more practical for us to book a coach. As far as we know, we're the only church in Relational Mission doing that, because we have so many people going. It is great. You guys get prayer. The next one is on Friday the 10th of November. Put it in your diaries. And also on social media as well, those of you that are on social media, particularly on Facebook, we have our private group on Facebook. The link's there if you want to join that, where prayer requests, people just, hey, look, I'm struggling with this, or can you pray for so-and-so? And almost instantaneously, people respond, yeah, I'm on it, I'm praying. People get it. And then, you know... A day later, or even a few hours later, people then update their prayer request and say, hey, look, that prayer has been answered. Yeah. It's just great. You guys get prayer. We are a church who prays. So what have we got to say this morning? what have we got? What we've been doing is we've been asking some of you, actually, on this subject of how... to pray. What questions do you have, and what would you like to know? So we've got six questions that we're going to go through this morning, and we're going to just try and answer them the best that we can. Okay, so you ready for this?
Yes.
By the way, if you're on the YouVersion Bible app, then there are notes for this talk available there, if you want to add to those notes on that. So here we go. So question one. How do you pray on your own? And this is going to be a bit of our focus this morning, that we're going to be looking at questions just to encourage us personally in our personal times of prayer. Okay, and discussion around this question was, you know, when you're with other people, when you're together, and like this morning, it's easy because you're spurred on by one another. But when you're alone and you're those personal times of prayer, how do you get into that place where you're with, when you know you're with God, when you're in his presence? Okay. So with prayer, a good place to start is Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus taught on prayer. When the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, and Jesus responded to them and answered that. And as part of chapter 6, we have what is known as the Lord's Prayer. And the first thing to notice in this, so Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, Jesus says, pray then like this. He didn't say, pray this. Okay, he said, pray like this. The Lord's Prayer is a framework that we can use that is helpful. I mean, like from time to time, you'll want to pray through the Lord's Prayer, and that's good. But he's giving us a framework here of prayer, pray like this. And he starts off, our Father in heaven. So the first thing to think about in your personal times of prayer is actually just to pause for a moment and actually think about who it is you are praying to. Our Father, this idea of praying to God as our Father, there's something about the authority, the warmth, the intimacy of a loving Father. That's who we are approaching, but it's our Father who's in heaven. Okay, he is in heaven, he is on his throne, he is sovereign, and he is ruling over everything. That's just awesome. We're approaching the God who created the universe. He is our Father, but he's in heaven. And Jesus then continues, hallowed be your name. That God's name would be hallowed. That means set apart, that it's holy. We're approaching this holy, awesome God who rules over everything. Yet he invites us to do so. He is our Father. This intimacy and personal relationship with him. So how do we pray when we're on a lone wolf, when we're by ourselves? Well, think about who it is you're approaching. Now, I just want to commend to you a talk that we heard at New Day this year. One of the main speakers on Wednesday, on one of the evenings, was Francis Chan. You may have heard that name and read some of his books. And he prayed along this kind of subject, talking about the reverence of God and coming with reverence to him and taking time just to pause and think about who he is. So this his talk is available on YouTube. Okay, you can find that. We'll try and post the link out later. But I do recommend this talk as well on this subject. Sue, how do we pray alone?
As many of you know, I'm doing the LEAD course at the moment, the Relational Mission Run, and I'm halfway through. And we are very privileged to have some great speakers. One of those this year was Terry Virgo, and he spent a day talking to us about prayer, which was great. And so some of the things I'm going to share this morning are things that I've really picked up from him. One of the things he also commended was using the Lord's Prayer as our framework for coming to into God's presence. In Psalm 100 it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. When we come before God, it's not just about coming with a list of things asking, it's about coming before God, spending time in his presence. Simple things like just thinking about thanking God for yesterday, things that happened yesterday that were good, things that God's blessed you with. Thinking about who God is, his kindness and his faithfulness. Spending time worshiping, celebrating God. As we were singing this morning, Jesus, I sing for all you have done for me. Just coming before God and thanking him for all he has done for us. And that's a great way to start prayer because that gets us going. And spending time listening as well. Coming before God, celebrating him, worshiping him is all part of our prayer. And spending time listening. The most important thing being that we're spending time with God.
Cool. Is that helpful?
Yeah.
Good. How do we pray alone? Okay, ready for question two?
Yes.
Good. Okay, does it matter if my prayers are short or long? Does it matter? Well, what does the Bible say? In Matthew chapter 6, before Jesus told us how to pray like this, our Father in heaven. He gave us two things where he said, don't pray like this. And the second of these is in verse 7, Okay, and he says, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Okay, so Jesus is warning us against their just many words, long prayers. But what's he actually saying here? Because surely he's not telling us to just pray short prayers. The key thing in that verse is do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. Empty phrases. This idea of mindless repetition. Just saying the same thing over and over and over. And there are actually examples of that in the Bible. Okay, where people do that, mainly pagans praying to their gods. But we see that in the Bible. So Jesus warns us against empty phrases. So what is Jesus after then in answering that question? Well, what Jesus is after is prayers that flow from the heart. That's what God is looking for. Remember the story of Samuel when he's looking for which son of Jesse he was to anoint and appoint as the next king? And God tells Samuel, man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So it doesn't matter if your prayers are short or long. Well, no, the important thing is that you're praying, okay? And that your prayers are just an overflow from the heart. If we've talked about how do we get into prayer and we've been talking about remembering who God is and coming from that point of worship, and then your prayers start to flow from the heart. And I guarantee you that the more you get into prayer, and even if you just start off with short prayers, that actually as you get into this and as you practice and pray more, then your prayers will become longer because you'll have more to say. Sue.
Another thing that Terry talked about, he was actually talking in the context of leading others together in prayer, was he did actually say, encourage people not to pray long prayers. And I think sometimes that's true because it gives more opportunities for others to pray, other people to pray. It encourages those people who are not so, haven't prayed out loud much before. If you're praying short prayers, I think, oh yeah, I can do that. And also, I think it helps us to stay focused in each other's prayers if they're not too long, because sometimes we can kind of, you know, we want to be praying each other's prayers and agreeing with them. So that really helps others if we don't pray for too long. One thing I find, though, is often you have one thing that you really want to pray for, and as you start praying for it, the Holy Spirit does guide you and gives you more to pray deeper into things as well. So I think it doesn't matter. Sometimes you might just have one thing that you want to pray. Sometimes that will be it. Sometimes it will develop into more. But yeah, don't be worried, just pray.
Cool. Still with us? Question 3. Why aren't my prayers answered? Okay, does the Bible tell us why prayers aren't answered? Well, yeah, of course it does, because the Bible is helpful. And there's probably a whole load of reasons. I've just picked out 3 reasons that the Bible tells us why prayers may not be answered. Okay, and the first one can be found in James chapter 1, verse 6. And it says this, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. So why aren't my prayers answered? So James is suggesting that actually, if you come and if you ask something of God, but if there's that element of doubt, well, God, can you really do that? Then actually your prayers may not be answered. It says, let him ask in faith. And of course, we can actually ask for faith for our prayers as well. So that's the first thing. The second is this, actually it's about idols. Is there something getting in the way between you and God? Ezekiel chapter 14 verse 2 says this, and the word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel, son of man, these men have taken their idols into their hearts and set the stumbling block of their iniquity before their faces. Should I indeed let myself be consulted by them? So God is saying, hey, these men, when they come to me in prayer, actually there's an idol. Actually, there was a real idols in the temples, and real idols, and they become a stumbling block in their hearts between them and God. And God's saying, well, actually, why should I What should I let myself be consulted by people? Why should I hear those prayers? So that's another thing. Is there something getting in the way between you and God? Is there something you need to actually say, God, hey, can you help me in this? Is there something there? Why aren't my prayers being answered? Can you reveal to me what that may be? And in fact, this passage from Ezekiel is actually a stark warning for us as elders, because it's in the context of the elders of the people. And then the third one is this. Why are my prayers answered? Well, John 15, verse 7 says this. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. This is Jesus speaking. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So here we've got two conditions before coming to prayer. Abide in Jesus and let the words of Jesus abide in you. Keep close to Jesus. Let his words and his gospel just permeate your soul. Because actually, how's your relationship with Jesus? Because if your relationship with Jesus isn't very good, then perhaps that's why your prayers aren't being answered. So there's just three things there that the Bible suggests. Sue?
One of the reasons we haven't seen our prayers answered is that God's timing is often not what our timing, what we think it should be, or the same as ours. And that involves a lot of waiting. As Tim and Anise know at the moment, prayers for their house, we're still waiting for it to be answered. We're still praying for it, and everybody's still praying for it, but we'd have liked it to be, I think they'd have liked it to be sooner, but God's timing is perfect. So God's timing often is one of the reasons we haven't seen our prayers answered yet. Sometimes our prayers are not answered how we expect them to be answered. We're looking for one thing, but God answers them in a completely different way. And it's just being aware that that might be the case and being open to what God wants to do and not just what we think should happen. Hindsight is a great thing, I think, for answered prayer. In our lives, we've got testimony to this. When Owen was first diagnosed with a tumour on his kidney, we all prayed and a lot of other people prayed immediately that tumour would just go. It didn't go straight away. But we did see many, many answered prayers throughout Owen's treatment and his eventual healing, and he is very well now, for which we are very grateful and thankful to God. But God also used that process that we went through with his treatment and what we went through as a family as a time to teach us and for us to grow in him. So hindsight, looking back, God may not answer our prayers straight away as we thought we wanted at the time, but he did answer our prayers and did more than we could have imagined as well.
Cool. So I hope that's been helpful. Our next question actually kind of follows on from this one, which says, how do you keep going when your prayers don't seem to be answered? Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, well, you know, Paul encourages us to continue steadfastly or to persevere in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. We can continue praying. We're being encouraged. Actually, have we got things to be thankful for as we're praying? But what's your understanding of being steadfast or persevering in prayer? How long do you give it? I think is a good question to ask. Oh, I've prayed for this for 2 days now, and nothing's really happened. Is that persevering? We've got a video now that has that was used previously as an advert for Enough. It's Daniel Goodman of City Church Cambridge, and he just talks and gives us a testimony of something or about what it means to persevere in prayer. Thank you, Leo.
I'd like to share a story with you about the importance of persistence in prayer. In the 1800s, there was a Christian pastor called George Meller. He knew what it meant to pray and what it meant to live by faith. Throughout his life, he ran schools and orphanages in Bristol, England, and he never asked for help or for financial support. Instead, he just prayed to God for provision. One morning, he came down for breakfast with the children and, knowing there wasn't any food, began to give thanks. And by the end of that prayer, a baker had arrived with enough fresh bread for everyone, and a milkman who had broken down outside the house was able to provide fresh milk. But he also knew that not all prayers are answered in an instant, and that it was important to continue to pray, that he was in it for the long haul. In one of his sermons, he shared this story. In November 1844, I began to pray for the conversion of 5 individuals. I prayed every day without one single intermission, whether sick or in health, on the land or at sea, or whatever the pressures of my engagements might be. 18 months elapsed before the first of the 5 was converted. I thanked God and prayed for the others. 5 years elapsed, and then the second was converted. I thanked God for the second and prayed for the other 3. Day by day, I prayed, and for 6 more years passed before the 3rd was converted. I thanked God for the 3 and went on praying for the other 2. These 2 remain unconverted. The man to whom God, in the riches of his grace, has given tens of thousands of answers to prayer in the selfsame hour or day on which they were offered, has been praying day by day for nearly 36 years for the conversion of these 2 individuals, and yet they remain unconverted. But I hope in God, I pray on, and I look yet for the answer. When Mela died in 1898, 52 years after he'd begun praying, all but one had come to faith. That last one did come to Christ after Mela had passed away. In Luke 18, we find the story of the persistent widow, a woman who repeatedly comes to a judge petitioning him. And Jesus tells this story so that his disciples would know to keep praying and to never give up. George Mela knew what it meant to keep praying and never give up.
Cool. So, one of the things it's good to do is to write down what we're praying and date it and to keep a kind of prayer diary. I think especially when you've got something you're praying for that you haven't seen answered yet, and you're persevering in prayer with that, something that really helps is to see other little things that inspire us on our way. So answers to other prayers, other little prayers that you've been praying as well, really help to to spur us on to keep praying for that one thing maybe that we haven't seen answered yet. And as we've just heard there, we may not always see the outworking of our prayers. People we're praying for, one of them didn't come to faith till after he died, so he didn't see that, but he was faithful in persevering in prayer.
So keep praying. Keep praying. Keep persevering. You don't know how your prayers will be answered. They may be answered after you die. But just keep praying. Just keep praying. Our next question, we've got the next PowerPoint. Thank you, Leo. This is a great question. Is it possible to pray wrong? What do you think, Sue?
One of the things I think people are worried about sometimes is we're worried about the words we use. And we've already said that actually, as it said with David in his heart, it was about what was in his heart and his motivation, and God knows what's on our hearts. So being worried about not articulating what we want to say when we pray shouldn't stop us praying. Sometimes I think we're worried about what other people think when we're praying with other people, but actually it's God we're praying to. We're not praying to the people next to us. And we need to just remember that he knows what's on our heart. In Romans 8, verse 26, it says, "We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will." So the Holy Spirit helps us when we don't know what to pray, so we don't need to worry about using the wrong words.
Cool. So what does the Bible say about this? What does the Bible say about, is it possible to pray wrong? Well, the answer to the question, according to the Bible, is yes. It is possible to pray wrong or incorrectly. James chapter 4, verse 3 says this: "You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly." Or it might say in your Bible, with wrong motives. And the context there is that it's a warning against worldliness, against possessions and money. So that is one area where the Bible is very clear that it is wrong, that this is how you can pray wrongly or incorrectly. So the obvious question after that then is, how do I know if I'm praying correctly? Well, as Sue's already said, be guided by the Holy Spirit. But 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Let your prayers be for the glory of God. Okay, that's a good check, isn't it? When I'm praying here, does that bring glory to God? And James 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. So actually we can ask for the wisdom in how to pray. Again, as Sue's already kind of said, being guided by the Holy Spirit. So would your prayers bring glory to God if they were answered? That's a good check. But also, what does the Bible tell us to pray for? Because if the Bible tells us to pray for certain things, then you know you're on good ground, you're on safe ground, and that you're not praying incorrectly. And of course, the Bible tells us that we can pray for a whole load of different things. We're encouraged to pray for our enemies. In Matthew, we're encouraged to pray for God to send missionaries. We're encouraged to pray that we do not enter temptation. For ministers of the word and of the gospel, for governments and those in authority, for relief from suffering, for the healing of fellow believers. So actually with these topics, we know we're on safe ground. So do think about what you're praying. Is it possible to pray incorrectly, wrongly? Yes, it is. If your prayers were answered, would they bring glory to God? That's a good check. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom as to what to pray for and to guide you in your prayers. We're on to our last question. What stops people praying? Why do people give up? The conversation here was around becoming disheartened or bored or even distracted. Sue, what do you think?
I very easily get distracted. I know this. I know there are certain rooms in my house where I'm not very good at praying because I see things that need doing or things that I need to sort out. And another helpful thing from Terry, he always says, write down things that are on your mind. Write down things that are going to distract you so that when you're praying, your mind doesn't wander to those things that you've got to do later that day or someone you've got to call. So I do that, and I found that really helpful, to write down things that are likely to distract me. Another thing I think stops us praying is that we don't feel like it as well. So sometimes it's a choice we have to make, choice to come before God and kind of like pray ourselves into prayer and ask God to help us. Lord, I don't feel like praying. I don't know what to say. I don't know, you know, I might not be feeling great today. Can you help me? And as we've just been talking about, using the Bible tells us lots of things to pray for, but using Scripture is a great way to help us pray. Psalms help us praise God, don't they? Other passages that we've been reading help us to pray into situations and to pray for other people. And that's something, again, I've been learning a lot more this year since I've been doing my lead course, of the using of Scripture to pray. It's been really helpful.
Cool. I think for me, one thing that I've learnt and it just finds so helpful, and that is just getting organised with prayer. Because actually, you don't need to spend long looking around and thinking about what to pray for and asking God what to pray. There's just so much stuff to pray for, isn't there? State of the world. Next door neighbour. Your cat. Whatever it is. There's just so much to pray for. So getting organised, I think, is one thing that's really helped me. I mean, there are times when, yeah, you just get caught up in prayer and worship and you just go with the flow of the Holy Spirit. But actually, for things that I'm interceding for and praying for, then what I find helpful is using an app on my phone. Okay, and I use the PrayerMate app, which Relational Mission use to have their weekly prayer updates as well. And I've got a whole load of things. So the PrayerMate app allows you to create different lists of things to pray for, and then different topics or items within those lists. And then you can configure it to tell you how many things per day you want to pray for. So I've got nearly 200 things I'm praying for, and it gives me 5 a day. Okay, so I've just started it up here on my phone. So today's topics, from my list of praying for my family, today I have to pray for Yasmin Atil. Okay, so that's good. And then I have a list for my church family. And today in my church family, I need to pray for Sandra Moore. Good to see you, Sandra. So that's good. And then I've got a prayer list for friends. And I'm come up today as a friend who lives in Aylsham, Fiona, who we've got to meet, who comes along to her and her family come to make lunch sometimes, and we have some contact with them. So I'm praying for Fiona. And then I have a list for the church vision, where I've typed in the different components of the church vision. And today it's the third part of release, where it says to provide opportunities for discipleship training and mentoring for everyone in the church. So I'm going to be praying into that. And then my last list that I've got today, which is interesting, my list is called World Mission, which basically is lots of other things. So I've got Open Doors on there, Relational Mission, and some people that we know as well. And actually what's come up today is our good friend Kerry Baines. To pray for Kerry. You may know that she's recently relocated from China back to England, and is looking to do an MA in London, and looking for somewhere to live as well, and all that. So, yeah, praying for Kerry. So, what stops people praying? And becoming disheartened and bored and whatever. Well, I find having an app really helps, and just getting organised. For you, it may not be an app, it may be having a prayer journal or some kind of diary or list or whatever, but I find that getting organised really helps me. Anything else to say, Sue?
No.
No, okay, cool. So I hope that's been helpful. We're out of time answering those questions, but you know, out of this and looking at those questions and the responses we've given, the obvious question back to you is, how's your prayer life? How's your personal prayer life doing? You know, because actually we're called to be more and more like Jesus, aren't we? To be transformed more and more into his likeness as Christians. And when you look at Jesus in the Bible, well, he prayed a lot. He prayed a lot. So if we're called to be more and more like Jesus, well, actually, we are called to pray. And actually, as we pray, then we will meet Jesus. We will encounter him. We will hear from him. You know, it's such a wonderful privilege, isn't it, that we have been given, that we've been invited to have a conversation with God. The God who created the universe. That we can ask things, that we can come in worship and adoration to God, but that we can ask things of him and say, God, I'm struggling with this. Will you help me in this? Will you provide for these people? Will you pour out your blessing? Whatever it is, that we have this wonderful privilege and wonderful invitation. So I just want to encourage you with that. I know so many of you do pray already. But if you aren't praying, or if you're not praying regularly, then find that time and space. Work out what works for you. Work out what your personal prayer strategy is. Even if it's only 5 minutes a day, hey, that's a start. And as you start there, then you know, my experience is that actually you quickly find yourself praying for a bit longer and really getting into prayer and really enjoying it. And having that relationship with God. So I hope that's been helpful to you this morning, and answered some questions there. Shall we pray? It seems appropriate, doesn't it? Yeah, Father God, we do thank you for this wonderful invitation and privilege to come to you in prayer, to approach your throne, to seek you. To hear your voice. We thank you that it is a conversation. I thank you that we can expect to hear from you. So please, would you encourage us in our prayers? Holy Spirit, would you guide us? Would you give us the wisdom and the words to say? Will you turn our mumblings and our mutterings into something that just brings glory to Jesus? Help us in this, we pray. for your glory, Lord. Amen.